Okay, Rabbi, so over here at Chesem Beis, we discussed some of these topics regarding the mitzvah of tzedakah. For those who weren't here for it, don't worry, it's not going to be so much overlap. Each sugya kind of stands on its own. And if there is something that is related, we'll, of course, explain where it came from. But the Brisa says over here at the two dots, kupa shel tzedakah, I mean, these are topics that are familiar, but so, so important, because there's a lot of misunderstanding and misimpressions about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So it's important to get to the bottom of the, you know, of what actually is the halacha. So and really the hashgafa of tzedakah. So the Brisa says over here, kupa shel tzedakah nigvis b'shnayim, the local collection for tzedakah is collected with two. Mischavek is b'shloisha, that we discussed last month. It's collected with two and it's distributed with three. It shouldn't be one person who's doing it all on their own, and it's distributed with three because each person got necessarily a somewhat separate allotment, and therefore there had to be a beis din to establish how much each person was going to get. And that's like a dinei mamonos. It's just like a person judges somebody else. You need three dayanim when it comes to a dispute about dinei mamonos. Here, with regards to distributing tzedakah, you also need three dayanim to assess how much each person is entitled to and really deserves and needs. Negvis b'shnayim she'noisin sroel latzibor pachas mishnayim. Why is it collected with two? Because you can't have a person in a position of authority over the tzibor by himself. It always has to be with three. U'mischalek es b'shloisha, you need to divide it with three. Kedinei mamonos, as we just explained, because you're going to, you know, decide how much each person gets, and that's no different than any other kind of dinei mamonos, where you're deciding who is entitled and who is not entitled. Shegvuya v'chaluka shav, shegivuya, hold on, tamchoy, nigves, tamchoy though, that's a different kind of a collection. Nigves b'shloishim, skalek is b'shloishim, shegivuya v'chaluka shav. When it comes to the tamchoy, there, it had to be collected with three and distributed with three, because its collection and its distribution have to be equal. Tamchoy b'chol yoyim, kupa me'er of Shabbos, or of Shabbos, each one had a different purpose, and therefore some had a different number. They had different constituencies that they served. Tamchoy b'chol yom, kupa me'er of Shabbos, or of Shabbos. Tamchoy l'aniyei oylam, kupa l'aniyei ho'ir. So one was for the people in the city, one was for the people beyond the city. We have a local obligation of tzedakah that really takes precedence over tzedakah. In other places, we discussed, you know, last month, of course, that even giving locally to tzedakah is more important than giving to aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Aniyei Eretz Yisrael are more important than aniyei ayaros acheros, than giving to people of other cities or other circles. Ani Eretz Yisrael, once you're distributing beyond your city limits or your interactions, your organizations that you have something to do with, so Ani Eretz Yisrael is the top of that list. But Ani Yircha take precedence over all of them, even Ani Eretz Yisrael. So there's one kupa that's for Ani Ho'ir, there's one that's for those abroad, and you should spread your tzedakah around. You shouldn't only give tzedakah to your local institutions. It's important to share the wealth with other entities as well. V'shoyim b'nei Ho'ir lasas kupa tamchoy v'tamchoy kupa. As we also discussed last month, you can switch tzedakah from one charitable plate or one destination to another. If let's say there's excess surplus in one place, you can switch it over to the other. And if they sense another communal need, they can reallocate the money for what they need it for. Those who are in charge of the town can stipulate how much each measurement should actually be, how much it should measure out to. So, you know, how much, like a pound is obviously something that's universal, but if they would have a measurement that was somewhat local, in one place the measurement was this, right? In the UK, a pound means something else than it means here, right? So I think it's a currency there. Here it's a weight measurement. There they measure in kilos. Here we measure in pounds. So whatever the measurement might be, whatever the dollar is there, you know, that should be established by the people who are running the town. How much things should cost, and how much people should get paid. Fascinating. You see from this Gemara that they established a minimum wage, right? How much people, not really a minimum wage that would cut across all sectors, but a wage that was allocated, you know, for each or really assigned to each profession, to each industry. How much should computer software programmers get paid? How much should garbage men get paid? How much should lawyers get paid? How much should doctors get paid? That was all established by that's a pretty powerful entity, but all established by the B'nai Ha'ir, and how much things should cost, how much items should cost. And they would have the right, and they would have the right to punish those who violated their rules about how much things should cost. That would control inflation, control wage distribution. Obviously, they didn't believe in the free market, the capitalistic economy, but, leaving the economics aside, that's what the Gemara says over here. They have the right to legislate, or to regulate, really, to regulate these parts of the economy. Amar Mar. Now we're just going to review and focus in on something that was mentioned in the Braisa. How do you know that you can't appoint a person to a position of authority over the Tzibor by himself? He always has to have a partner. There always has to be two. I think that when they made the collection for the Mishkan, it was two people. So they came with two. Sroras Hudaloy Avdi. So to collect the money, you needed two. But really, of course, if there's one gabbai tzedakah, one person in charge of the tzedakah, he's believed. He's believed. And we would have no problem. And therefore, the second person doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's not related to him. It could be a person who he's related to. It could be a person who he's friends with. Because we're not afraid that they're going to conspire to steal money. Because each person by themselves is believed. And this supported by the Maisa which occurred with Rebbe, who appointed two brothers to be the Gaboi Tzedakah. So you see, we're not afraid, even if there's one person in charge. Look, it's always good to have transparency. It's always good to have checks and balances. There's a very positive thing about that. And organizations today should have as much transparency as possible, and the Tzibor should demand that there be transparency. Unfortunately, we've had too many incidents which almost demand that we have transparency. But fundamentally speaking, theoretically speaking, one person is believed, and the need for transparency is required, because we assume that most people are going to be honest in their dealings. But you should need two people to be the Gaboi Tzedakah because of authority, because of Srarusa, because they're going to impose their will on the Tzibor. How is collecting stuck a position of authority? Because they can seize property for tzedakah. You say you don't want to give, we're going to take your car. We're going to put a boot on your car. You say you don't want to give, we're going to take your long furniture. Wow. That's, if you're seizing property, I don't know who does that for the city, collections people. We go around putting boots on people's cars. But we're going to go around collecting what is due to the Tzibor for tzedakah. Ain't he? Is that true? V'haksi? But the pasuk says, I think it's safer here. Yo, fokadati al kol lechatzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish all those who create lachatz, all those who create pressure, all those who make it difficult for the Tzibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them. So doesn't that imply that those who are the tax collectors will also be punished? Even a gabbai tzedakah who's too aggressive will also be punished. He's creating a lachas on the tzibur. Loi kasha, says the Gemara. It's not a kasha. Hada amid, hada loy amid. If the guy can't afford it, then you're creating pressure on the tzibur. You're going to be punished. You shouldn't do that. Hada amid. But if the guy can afford it, then he has the right and the obligation, really, to be mamashkin malatztaka, to seize funds on behalf of the poor people for yeshivas, but to seize funds on behalf of the poor people to support them for tzedakah. Ki hada rava ach bele rav nosim bar ami, rava force of nosim bar ami v'shaku minei arba mea zuzi litztaka. And he took from him 400 zuz for tzedakah. So he's even this Gemara. You see that you can compel people to give tzedakah, not only forcing them to write a check, I can take the money forcibly, go into their house, I don't know, breaking into the ring, but if it's accessible, I can seize their property and use it to pay their charitable bills to the community in order to support the poor. If he can afford it. If he can't afford it, then you shouldn't do it. It shouldn't be too aggressive. But otherwise, you can. And that's why it's a position of authority. And that's why you need two people to do it together. Not because one person is not believed, even though it's always good to have transparency, but because you can't have one person seizing other people's property. It seems to me that this Gemara, this Gemara seems to be linked to the, or based upon a concept that Gemara has in Masechtas Ksubos and Daf Pei Vav and Aleph, that if a person refuses to perform a mitzvah, we can compel him to perform a mitzvah. Meaning this isn't limited to tzedakah. There might be unique aspects of this with regards to tzedakah. We'll have to discuss that in the coming days. Could be there's something unique here about tzedakah, that you're kaifin about tzedakah. But at least on the surface, this seems like any other mitzvah, that you can compel people to perform the mitzvah if they are refusing to perform the mitzvah. The Gemara says over there, Mesethus, Ksubis Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Papa, Rav Kahana says to her papa, according to you, that you believe paying back a loan is a mitzvah. It sounds like there were those who believed paying back a loan was not a mitzvah. So what, you don't have to pay back a loan? No. There's a loisase involved. If you don't pay back a loan, so the pasuk says in Parashas Kedoshim, loisasha kesreach of a loisigzo. Don't steal, but loisashak is also stealing. Loisigzo is also stealing. So what's the difference between loisashak and loisigzo? The Rambam explains that if a person goes into someone else's property and he takes something that belongs to him, that's gzeila, right? If he does so surreptitiously when no one's watching, that's gneva. Loisashak is reacha is if you give me something, you lent me your lawnmower, you lent me your car, and I refuse to return it. I didn't forcibly take it from you. You gave it to me, but I refuse to return it when it is due. That is called loisashak esrecha, the equivalent of gneva and gzeila. But that's if you never pay it back, or I have no intention of ever paying it back. What if I admit I owe you the money, but I don't pay you on time? Then I'm neglecting this mitzvah, priyas balchoyv mitzvah, meaning to pay a loan. Of course, you have to pay back the loan. It's a loisase to hold back someone's, the bank's money and not pay them back. Of course, you're not allowed to do that. That's gneva, gzeila, in a different form, perhaps, than traditional gneva and gzeila, but gneva and gzeila nonetheless. Here we're talking about that you have to pay back on time. You gave your word that you were going to pay back. So then one opinion in the Gemara is to pay back when you gave your word that you're going to pay back is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of, fulfilling your word. So that's what the Gemara says. According to the Man D'Yomar, the Priyas Baal Chayv mitzvah. Now, the other opinion doesn't hold. You don't have to pay back loans. But it's not necessarily a mitzvah to pay back on time. Of course, you have to pay back. Otherwise, you're a ganef and a gazlan. But here he holds it's a mitzvah. It's a religious duty. Not just because it's good midos. Right? The Mishnah also says in Ovis. What is one of the paths that you should distance yourself from? One is chaver ra, one is shachin ra, one is loiva vieno perea. Person who borrows, that guy, who borrows the book, sometimes I'm that guy, borrows the book and never gives it back, So, borrows the sefer, never gives it back, who borrows money and never gives it back. So loiva vieno perea is a very bad midah. So it's bad mitzvahs for sure, but is it a mitzvah to do it? So that's one opinion of the Gemara. Is the Priyas Baal Chayv, we pass in that way, the Priyas Baal Chayv is a mitzvah. So according to the one who holds Priyas Baal Chayv is a mitzvah, let's say the guy isn't paying on time. He says, I'm a loinechali da'avin mitzvah. I don't want to do a mitzvah. I'd rather hold on to the cash. My, can we compel him? Amalei tanina, we learned in a b'raisa, ba'medvar mamurim, when can you give 40 times malchus? B'mitzvah loisase, when you're dealing with a loisase. When you're dealing with a positive commandment, the guy is neglecting to make a sukkah. He says, I don't want to do it. Lulav, we tell him, hey, it's time to buy a lulav. He's not interested. We give him malchus to the point, obviously you wouldn't kill him, that's kind of self-defeating, but you would give him malchus, right? You bring him to the brink of coercion, of compelling. A pressure in order to fulfill the mitzvah. We would coerce him, by all means in our power, to coerce him to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, if you violate a loisa asay, the Gemara says over here, that's 40 times malchus. If you're neglecting to do an asay, we can compel you to do it. Makanoisoi ad shetetzei nafshay. Somewhat extreme. So this Gemara sounds like it's similar to that Gemara. You can go down to people's property and seize their money in order to compel them to give tzedakah. Just like if you're not, you're not interested in performing lulav and sukkah, we can force you to do it. Until you do it, we'll schlep you into the sukkah. We'll shake you with your hands. So you go like this. Ariya Kodesh, however you do your nanuim, we'll shake the lulav with you. Until you fulfill the mitzvah. That's what it sounds like our Gemara is talking about. Same Gemara, same ideas, the Gemara and Ksuvas. However, the Rambam, when he quotes our Gemara, the Rambam writes, and maybe we'll have to see if this is true by all. Every time we compel someone to perform a mitzvah, you need a beis din to do this. Who is this guy? Is this some vigilante mashgiach or mashpia who's coercing people to perform mitzvahs? Well, he's the mitzvah man, instead of Uncle Moshe. He's going around with like a whip. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Some over-aggressive, mashgiach. So the Rambam says, Mishein arayitz alitain tzedakos, yitei ma'at mimash aroyloi. Person doesn't want to give tzedakah, he's giving less than he really should. Bezin will give a malchus until he gives what we assess he can give. Understand, they didn't submit their tax returns, but everyone saw how much property, they didn't have investments like today where they're hidden in some Cayman account. They saw what the guy had, they saw what he probably could give, they saw the size of his field, and therefore they assessed a tax assessment upon him. He has to pay what they assessed. The yard in Lenachasa Bifana, we go down to his property, Velaychen Mimenu, Masha Roy Lolitain. We go down and we take what he should give. So you go down and you take the money even on Erev Shabbos. But who's doing this? Who's taking the tzedakah? Who's compelling performance of the mitzvah? The Rambam says, Beis Din. Beis Din. Look at the end of the first line. Beis Din Koyfen Oysay. It's Beis Din who does. So Frechter Bachan Watzman over here in the Koyfen Shurim, the Rambam says that this is only Beis Din who can compel someone to perform a mitzvah, right? It can't be that we deputize every Jew to start going around hitting people until they do the mitzvah, you know, until they daven mincha. That's, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what, you know, what the Yiddishkeit would devolve into. We can't have that. It's an anarchy. So it's Beis Din. Makes sense that it's Beis Din. So answer Rav Chanan Wasserman, if that's the case, how many people over here are seizing the money? We already said, Ein ois in Sarah Tzal, Tzibur Pachas Mishnayim. Two. Not one guy, even though he's believed. Always good to have transparency. You have two anyway. Good idea. Tzibur Mishnayim and Echad. But even if you only have one, one is believed. But you need two to seize the money because Ein ois in Sarah Tzal, Tzibur Pachas Mishnayim. No, you should really need three. Because who can compel someone to perform a mitzvah is a Beis Din. You can't, we didn't empower every Jew to go around coercing other people to perform mitzvahs. So, over here it's good with two. You don't need three. A Beis Din. In order to constitute a Beis Din, you need three. And over here, it sounds like it's enough with two. So, B'chon, that's a creative terrace. V'shem Yeshloimar. Meaning, yes, Beis Din approves of this seizure, you know, of the seizing of property, of this, of the action. Who's going to go and do it, though? Who's going to go and get their hands dirty? Who are the thugs who go and actually take the, you know, put the boot on the car and take the property? Who's going to do that? No, that's too, you know, Shomrim, or what do they call them? You know, the people. What are the chaver who go around helping everyone? Yeah, chaverim. Two chaverim. So two chaverim are going to go and seize the property. But you don't have to have, the Af Beis Din going to seize the property. You don't have to have the Yeshiva's Beis Din with a gavel. When you go and you seize the property, a gavel is in the other room, and then we have the enforcers, the bailiff, who goes out and he seizes the property. They're working for Beis Din. We're talking about it was already established how much each person should give, and therefore they're the enforcers, really, who are going to take, you know, what was obligated to give. So it sounds like, from the Rambam, at least, we'll have to explore this, that in order to seize property for tzedakah, but really, in order to compel others to perform mitzvahs, which is the principle the Gemara established in Masechta Subas, without explaining who's doing the enforcing, the Rambam told us, at least with the Garset Staka, that that's Beis Din. Beis Din. Beis Din has the right to enforce. Not anyone else. Not some random vigilante religious man. It can't be that. What kind of Beis Din, though? The assumption now is Beis Din. What kind of Beis Din? So there are really two kinds of Batei Din. There's a real Batei Din and fake Batei Din. Not what I, you know, colloquially, you know, what we call the guy's he's a charlatan. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to halachically. You know, there's officially licensed Batei Din, and then there's Batei Din as they function today. Just like there's real smicha. We have a chaga smicha every few years. That's fake smicha. We don't promote that at the time of the chaga smicha, but that's really fake smicha. Real smicha is ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu, can only be conferred in Eretz Israel. That's why some Amoraim are known as Rebbe. Rebbe means he received smicha ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Israel. Those who are known as Rav didn't receive smicha because they were living in Bavel, and there was no smicha in Bavel. You can't have smicha in Chutz La'aretz, so they didn't have real smicha that could only be conferred ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Israel. At some point in Jewish history, that chain of Mesera was broken. It was lost. They tried to renew it. In the times of the end of the period of Rishonim in Tzfas, which turned into a big machlekes, whether or not they could restart the process of smicha, because the Rambam says if all of Chachmei Yisrael will gather together and confer smicha upon an individual, they could restart the process of smicha even after the chain of Mesera has been broken. So they tried to gather all of the Chachmei Yisrael, whoever was around at the time, in Tzfas, in order to start the process of smicha all over again, and a huge machlekes ensued, whether or not they could actually restart the process. It's a fascinating discussion, historical episode, whether or not they could restart the process of smicha or not. But it's only Ishmael B'Yishmael Moshe Rabbeinu and only in Eretz Yisrael. The smicha that we give today is is a heter hayro. It's a certificate that this person has learned enough halacha that he can pass in a shiloh. But they don't have the rights and privileges of real smicha. And because of that, our batei din are also not considered to be the most, they're batei din, they should be respected and treated that way, but they don't have the same, some of the powers that real batei din would have, because we don't have smuchim, we don't have what's known as mumchim, we only have hedyotos, we only have people who don't have real smicha. If you don't have real smicha, it kind of pulls the carpet out from under the batei din. So the Gemara says over here, Masechtas Gittin, look over here, Eishei. Abai Ashrechei l'Rav Yosef, the Yosef v'kama Asi Agiti. Abai found Rav Yosef that he was forcing an individual to give a get. Certain times, certain instances, you can compel someone to give a get. Typically, a get has to be given willingly. If it's compelled, if it's a forced get, the get is pasul. That's called the get ma'usa. You have to make sure that the get is not compelled. It has to be given meritana. But there are some husbands who are obligated to divorce their wives. When they're obligated to divorce their wife, for whatever reason, some marriages have to end halachically. If he's obligated to divorce his wife, so then Beis Din can compel him to give the get. So Amalei v'ha anan hedyotis anan. How can you force him to give a get? We don't have smicha. We are hedyotis v'tanya. And we learned at the beginning of this week's parasha, ve'elam mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. These are the laws you should place before them. Lifneihem v'loy lifnei avdi kechavim. That you're only allowed to bring litigation before a Jewish court. Not before a secular court. There's a prohibition to go to secular court if you have a dispute with another Jew. Obviously, if you have a dispute with a non-Jew, he's not going to come to your Beis Din. But if you have a dispute with a Jew, you should really take the issue to a Beis Din. It's a prohibition to go to a secular court that's known as the Isser Arkos, a very severe Isser. Some of the communities will put you in Cheirem for going to an Arkos. You're not allowed to go to a secular court. We could discuss another time if you're interested in that topic. You're not allowed to go to a secular court, owing to a Beis Din, and that's based on the pasuk at the beginning of this week's parasha, Mishpatim, Mishatasim, Lefneim, Lefneim, V'loi Lefnei Avdi Kachovim. Davar Acher, another halacha, Lefneim, V'loi Lefnei Hedyotis. You should only bring litigation before real smuchim, not before Hedyotis, meaning those who are uncertified. Meaning they don't have real smicha. They might have a heter hayra. They might have proven their proficiency in a certain area of halacha, which is important, which is what our chagas smicha is all about. But yora and that kind of thing. But it's not real smicha. So amalei anan shlichu sayu ko avdinon. The Gemara here says yes, it's true we don't have smicha, but since Chazal knew at some point smicha was going to be broken, that chain of mesira was not going to continue, they empowered all of us to act on their behalf. Anan shlichu sayu ko avdinon. We are their representatives. When it comes to loans, when it comes to other financial arrangements, we have the right to adjudicate those matters because they empowered us to do so. So normally you'd be prohibited from going to someone who doesn't have smicha, but there's another principle which Chazal asserted, developed, known as anan shlichu sayu ko avdinon. We are the representatives of the earlier batei din. Now, we are only representatives of the earlier batei din for things that the Gemara here says that are common. Gzeilus and chavolus, theft and injury, we typically don't adjudicate those in a Beis Din. That's not common. We're not licensed to do that. Only with regards to hodos valvos. Or giving, punishments, capital punishments. Our batei din don't do that. It's only something which is shkicha, and there's hefzid and chesed and kiss. These kinds of other powers of Beis Din we don't enjoy. Only with regards to hodos vavos, basic monetary disputes, that we have the right to adjudicate. Because with regards to those matters, we were considered to be anan shlichu sayu ko avdinon. We are the representatives of the earlier batei din. A fundamental principle, Rabbi say, in all of Beis Din practices is this issue. Anan shlichu sayu ko avdinon. We are acting in their stead as their representatives because they empowered us. To do so. So what Rabbi say, look back at the Gemara in Masechtas Bava Kamma, because Taisus there has a big chiddush. The Gemara there says in Bava Kamma also our parasha. Eyo mishpatim mishatasim lifneihem. What do we derive from this pasuk? Hishver kasev isha leisha chol dinei shebetorah. We know when it comes to mitzvahs asei, women are excluded from time-bound mitzvahs. What about monetary laws? What about prohibitions? a woman included, if a woman hits my car, or I hit her car, do I have to pay her? Does she have to pay me? Are they included in all of those mitzvahs? So the answer is yes. Before them, before men and women alike, Tosfos jumps up and down and he says, how can you use this pasuk? These are the laws you should place before them to equate, to derive that women and men are both equally included in all dinei mamonos. The Gemara and Gittin use that for something else. What did the Gemara and Gittin use it for? V'imtaymer begin darshinu lifneihem l'me'utei hedyoytis. To exclude those who don't have smicha. V'haka darshinu rabbas isha. So the Gemara and Gittin said, it's coming to exclude those who don't have smicha. We do adjudicate matters. We do have batei din. There is a Beis Din of America. Very reputable Beis Din. Honest, fantastic. They operate based on Anan. They really have a sign outside. Anan shlichusayu kavdinon. We're not, we only operate based on the license or original batei din. We're their representatives, and therefore their powers are limited. But that, their limited powers are derived from this pasuk also. So how could you derive, too many things from this pasuk? This pasuk is already used for something else. V'hakadash, rabbas isha. To include women in dinei mamonos. V'yesh leimar, says Tosfos, hasman ma'at mishum d'lifneim kai o'eloi him d'chsivu parasha. That word, lifneim, is really going on the judges that are mentioned at the beginning of parasha Shmotim, right? If you have an eved who wants to become an eved nirtza, you have to bring him to the judges who are around at the time. So the Tosfos says that's from where we derive, that you have to be smuchim. They can't be hedyotis. They can't be unlicensed. Vim taymar b'loy lefneim tepekleid debayinan mumchim eolohim. Then why do you need lefneim at all? Why do I need lefneim at all if the real drasha is from the word Elohim and not from lefneim? Meaning, it sounds like lefneim is part of the drasha. But it's really not part of the drasha. The real drasha is derived from the judges that I mentioned. That means real judges and not fake judges. Not those who have, our kind of smicha, which is just a heter hara. V'yesh leimar, says Tosfos, the lefneim itzrich. No, lefneim is also part of the drasha. To teach us, l'chol davar isoy v'kfiya, whenever it comes to compelling people, forcing people to follow the proper din, which is part of the job of Beis Din, afal pisha eino din deboy mumchen. Even though it's not absolutely required, you derive from here that you need mumchim for that task. When it comes to forcing people to do things, you need mumchim. So again, let's just recap where we are. The Rambam said when you come to collect tzedakah, forcing someone to give a tzedakah, which is really based in the Gemara Ksubas, I could force someone to give a mitzvah, kaifin isaiah shatetze nafsho, any mitzvah, lulav, sukkah, the whole same thing. You need a Beis Din, says the Rambam. What kind of Beis Din? So Tosfos says over here in Baba Kama, if you just follow the train of thought, that the kind of Beis Din you need is a Beis Din that's smuchim. Even though with regards to some activities, our batei din, who are not smuchim, they don't have smichish mipish from Moshe Rabbeinu only in Eretz Yisrael, that chain of Messiah has been broken, are entitled to litigate certain issues, adjudicate certain issues, not kfiya viasiya, not when it comes to forcing people to comply. That you need to be smuchim. And that's derived from Eilu Mishpatim Eshetasim Lifneihem. Even though we could have derived that you need smuchim, you shouldn't really go to Hedyotis without the principle of Anat Shechusai Kavdina from somewhere else. You should bring the Eved Nirtza before the Elohim, which is the real judges. From the word Lifneihem, we add that when it comes to matters of compelling people to comply, you have to have real batei din. You have to have real smuchim. Anan shlichusayu kavdinon, the kamoi kavdinon doesn't apply to when it comes to compelling, when forcing people to do mitzvahs. When it comes to forcing them to adhere to the psak of Beis Din, when it comes to forcing them to give tzedakah, you should really need a Beis Din of smuchim. Which would mean, by the way, today, when we don't have a Beis Din of smuchim, the Dayanim for the Beis Din of America are fantastic. They do not have smicha ish mipish from Moshe Rabbeinu. They would not be able to force people either to take lulav or to sit in sukkah or to seize people's property in lieu of tzedakah. They wouldn't have the right to do that. According to the Rambam, you need a Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to be, according to Tosfos at least, the Beis Din has to be smuchim. So that leads to the Ksois over here. Simin Gimel Sivkanao says the Ksois, to compel people to follow the mitzvahs, You need a Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to be Smuchim. And he seems to be just quoting Tosfos. V'nira le'yashiv, a few mashim avur, midivrei ha'Tosfos, whatever kasha he's dealing with there. Da'afil name of the min ha'Torah b'chad sagi lodun, even if you say, and there are some shittos and rishonim like this, it's a machlekes in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, there could be certain instances when one person can sit in a din Torah by themselves. It could be dan yechidi. Aval kopane b'dinei kfiya, v'adai tzarech mumchim. To force people to do the mitzvahs, you need not only a Beis Din, but a Beis Din and Mumchen. And Mavur mi devreim de nehida din yocholios al pi yochid hedyot, even though one person could issue a psak, lokuf vadai bo'in al Mumchen mishum, dasher tassim wifneim, edu kol adayonim kayotum zekenim. So it has to be when it comes to forcing people, you require a Beis Din of Mumchen. And he cites Tosfos that we just mentioned. Tosfos and Bava Kamma at the end, who says, what do I need lifneim for if the real drush is from? That you should bring his ear to the Elohim. So the real drush is from there that you need real dayanim and not hedyotis. What are you lefnehem for? Lefnehem comes to teach me that when it comes to kfiyah ve'asiyah, you need mumchem too. That's the position of the ksay. Sounds like it's tesis and Bava Kamma. However, Chevron the Nesivis disagrees. Look over here, the Nesivis Oizayin, classic machlokes in the trenches between the ksay and the Nesivis. Says the Nesivis, however, I think there's a bigger issue here. It's not a detail much like this. Says in Esivis, Nir Lafiani has daiti de lesa. He quotes the Ksais. He says what the Ksais says is not true. The cave of the dummy li ase sukha ve'ena oise, seizing tzedakah is the same as forcing a guy to sit in sukkah to take lulav. The kaifin oise le kaima mitzvah. Kol adam mitzuvah lahafish chaveir meyisr. Every Jew, Rabbi Isai, no one here mentioned the whole time, Kol Yisrael, Aravim, Zeh, Bozeh. We are all responsible one for the other, and it's not Zeh, Lo, Zeh. It's Kol Yisrael. I once gave a whole drasha, Kol Yisrael, Aravim, Zeh, Bozeh. Someone came up after me and said, it's Kol Yisrael, Aravim, Zeh, Lo, Zeh. No, it's not. It's Kol Yisrael, Aravim, Zeh, Bozeh. Why Zeh, Bozeh? Because I am part of you, and you are part of me. It's not that I am responsible for you, and you are responsible for me. I am Zebaze. I am included in you. You are included in me. We're all part of the same fabric of Am Yisrael. And therefore, your religious commitment impacts me, and my religious commitment impacts you. So if that's the case, says the Nesivis, and I think that's what's lurking behind here, is Kol Yisrael Ravim Zebaze. I'm obligated, if I see you performing an Avera, not only to empathize and to sympathize as the generation we live in, not only that, I'm obligated to make sure that you up your standards. That you up your standards. I feel Misha ain't no bechlal Beis Din. You don't need a license to be a caring Jew. You don't need a license, to have smicha, to be bothered by someone else's religious shortcomings. Where's the raya? Where's the proof? Gabi mirza shekalu yomav. Obviously, there comes a time when the Eved Kenani goes free at the Yovel. You have no choice to stay. See, at the end of 6 years, he can stay. He can say, Ahavti es Adoni es the Eved Ivri. He can say, Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti. Why is he an Eved Ivri? Of course, he can marry a Shivcha Knainis. He can marry a non-Jewish woman who's the non-Jewish maidservant because she's somewhat converted. Every Eved Knaini, every Shivcha Knainis is in the process of conversion. They're not fully Jews, but they're not fully non-Jews. They're in this unique status. Eved Knaini, Shivcha Knainis. So a Jew, even though you're not allowed to marry a non-Jew, and a Shivcha Knainis, a regular Jew on the street is not allowed to marry a Shivcha Knainis, would be an innocent intermarriage. The Eved Ivri, one of the unique aspects of Eved Ivri is that he's permitted to marry a Shivcha Knainis. His master can give him a Shivcha Knainis to live with, kind of overriding the prohibition of intermarriage. And after 6 years, right, if he wants to stay, he can say, Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti ves Banai, and he'll stay. All right, he's an Eved Nirtza. He gets his ear pierced, right? Because he heard Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim l'avadim. We're really supposed to be avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this guy's happy to be an Eved to someone else. There's a problem there. So his ear that heard it is lacking. And therefore, we put the nail in his ear, whatever it is. But at the end of Yovel, everyone has to go free. The end of Yovel, you have to go free. You can't stay anymore. Let's say the guy says, "I want to stay." Yovel, he just became an Eved Kenani. He just got married. His Shivcha Knainis. He's happy with the Shivcha Knainis. He wants to stay. Can he stay? No, he cannot stay. You cannot stay married to the Shivcha Knainis. She's not a Jewish girl. Go register for Y.U. Connects or something. Get back in the pool. Enough. He cannot do the other services now. He cannot stay in the house. He says, I'm happy with the Shevchan Knais. He can't stay. When Yovel comes, you have to leave. He has to leave. So Gemara says, near to Shekalo Yomov, at the end of his days has come, together with the Shevchan Knais. He has to leave. It's intermarriage otherwise. There's a unique override for the Eved Ivri while he's, you know, in service. The master, that he can marry a Shevchan Knais. But after that, he has to leave. So when the time comes and he has to leave, Yoko Rabo Lahakoisoi Kidei Lafisho Meyisr Shivcha, he can hit him to get out of the house and give him Musa Shmuz. What's wrong with you? Intermarriage. You know, scream at him. Intermarriage. To leave the house. Now, is this guy a Beis Din? Is this guy a Smicha? No. He's hitting him to get out of the house. So Rabbi says the Rosh there in Bava Kama. Look over here. Oh, yeah. Says the Rosh in Bava Kama, V'chein, Imroya Adam Shi Yisrael Makas Chaver Ben Yochel Atziloi, Imloy She Yikas Hamaka, Afo Pi, yeah, if I see someone else hitting, someone else, two people fighting with each other, V'en Yochel Atzilo, Imloy She Yikas Hamaka, in order to save the guy who's being, you know, who's the victim, I have to hit the aggressor, Afo Pi She'en Makeo Makas Nefesh, Mutter Lahakoiz Hamaka Lafusha Meyisr. I can hit him in order to make sure that he stops hitting the other guy. Why I'm taking the law into my own hands, I'm becoming a vigilante, I'm not going to Beis Din, proper authorities, you're right, but you have the right to do that, you have the right to take it into your own hands. La frisha meyisr. And where does he derive this from? Kedarminu le'el benir tzashanir inasa shivcha k'nainis v'kolo yomav shirabo mutter lachbo bo la frisha meyisr. And the Rosh says here, is this anybody? Doesn't mean because the guy's in danger. Doesn't mean the guy's in physical, you know, in mortal danger. I see someone else hitting someone else. You're not allowed, you know, one guy hitting, Reuven hitting Shimon. Reuven's not allowed to hit Shimon. You're not allowed to hit your friend. Only Beis Din is entitled to hit people. Everyone else is not. Well, Yosef, Ben Yosef. Only Beis Din can hit. No one else can hit. So the guy's prohibited to do this. I'm allowed to hit him in order to make sure that he stops. Kedei gafrushe meyisr. They say, how does violence solve? You know, more violence solve? Okay, but whatever it is. You're allowed to make sure that he stops doing it. So Sotu says in Esivis, if I see someone else doing an Aveira, and by the same token, I see someone failing to perform a mitzvah. He's not sitting in sukkah. He's not taking lulav. He's not giving tzedakah. Every Jew is empowered, is deputized to make sure that this other Jew fulfills his obligations. And therefore they can go and take the money to tzedakah and put it in the pushka. I can go and take the lulav and make sure that you shake it. Wow. That's the nesivis. So the two chidushim in the nesivis. Number one, you don't need Beis Din. Now, the Rambam said you need Beis Din for tzedakah. We'll see what the opinion of the Rambam is. The Rambam might be unique. But number one, Chiddush in the Nesivah says you don't need Beis Din. Number two, he disagrees with the Ksais. Not only do you not need Beis Din, you certainly don't need Smuchin. Certainly don't need Smicha. The Ksais went to the far street. Not only do you need Beis Din, you need Smicha. Real Smicha, which we don't have today. In which case, this whole halacha would be lost. The Nesivah says, no, this is in force. As you see from the Gemara Bava Kama, the Eved, if he refuses to leave, everyone can hit him in order to leave and in order to not to continue to violate intermarriage. So Rabbi said, I don't know if you have people like this. Whenever you're communicating with them now, with text, there's some guys who always have to have the last word. Mamish always, whatever you say, they'll text back, thank you, or whatever you say. Some people, you notice, well, pay attention, always have to have the last word. They always they have to have the last, you know, they can't let something lie. So the Ksais also has the last word over here. The Ksais said his thing. The Nesivis disagrees. The Ksais has what's known as the Meshevev Nesivis, where he responds to the Nesivis. So he responds to the Nesivis like this. He says, Tmahani. He says, first of all, what are you disagreeing with me for? He says, Loy alai tununaschem. Stop arguing with me. I have a Taisvis. What do you want from me with it? I have a Taisvis. Taisvis says like me. Taisvis says, you need smuchim, not only to adjudicate matters, but for a kfi of asiya. You need smuchim. So he has a Taisvis. Maybe Taisvis agreed with him. He says, "Tmahani, ki kavanosu lahasig al vareinu v'hu misasig b'hasog al d'vrei al toisus." He said, "You got so carried away. You're disagreeing with toisus. I have a toisus on my side." Okay. He says, "Ah, but you have a gemara." He has a gemara. The Nesivis has a gemara. What's the gemara? Everybody can force the Eved Ivri to stop living with the Shivcha Knainis. What about that gemara? He says in his excuse, "I'm not bothered with your gemara." He says, "I can deal with your gemara." Umasha amu benir tishakalu yom of the yachol rabba la koisel afishu miyisa shivcha. That which he can stop him from living with the Shivcha, Hainu l'afrushe me'isr, that is only with regards to seeing to it that he stops violating an Isr. There's Gemara in Brachos, right? If I see someone else wearing shatnez, I can rip it off of him, even if he's in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue. Avalo kufay, why? Kol Yisrael ravim, zeh bazeh. But now when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, even though Kol Yisrael certainly applies when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, I don't have the right to enforce that. That you need bezin, that you need smuchim. When it comes to a loy saseh, a prohibition, yes, everybody's entitled and licensed to enforce the prohibitions. Avala kufa lekai mitzvah saseh, kigoy mishen yoyis esuko, eno noisin stoko, lazeh tzarek bezin dafka. For that you need bezin. He says, maybe over here you can say, you need smuchim, but maybe here too we can also say, Anan shlichusayu dekamoy avdinon. So sure, but he thinks, in principle, you need smuchim. In principle, you shouldn't need smuchim. Maybe today you can continue to do it because we are the shlichusayu dekamoy avdinon. With regards to certain things that are common, right? So maybe here too, you can say, Anan shlichusayu dekamoy avdinon. But in theory, at least you need bezdin. You might have needed smuchim. And he says, and by the way, when it comes to making sure someone stops performing an Isar, how many times can you hit him? How many times can you hit him? How many times can you hit him? He says only once or twice, whatever, a few times. Says these two things are not the same. Forcing people to stop doing prohibitions, everybody's licensed. You don't need a Beis Din. Forcing people to do mitzvahs, that you need to be a Beis Din. Forcing people to stop performing prohibitions, you can only hit them once or twice. Forcing people to do mitzvahs is makaner tzeres v'teitzei nafshei. So they're not the same halacha. He says the Nesivos blended the lines here, blurred the lines between causing people to stop performing prohibitions that everyone's licensed to do, and there you can't hit him atzeres v'teitzei nafshei. When it comes to fulfilling mitzvahs, you can hit him at shetetze in avshay, and for that you need a bezin. Av al bezin shekayfin l'kayim asay makna say shetetze in avshay kugoyim boimer suke ini yose viu bisure in makna at shetetze in avshay. You can't hit him so many times. Do al amr nitin l'atzil ben avshay beveros hayuduos. You can only bring someone to the point of the brink of death when it comes to a raydev. Right, a guy's running after someone else to kill someone. Achna or b'makom shekna'im pogim boy. Or that's if I see like Pinchas. So it's interesting, Rabbi Yisai. The punishment for which is worse? Prohibitions or failing to perform a mitzvah saseh? What's the punishment for failing to perform a mitzvah saseh? Nothing. You lose brownie points. What's the potential brownie point? What's the prohibition? What's the punishment for failing to perform a mitzvah lo saseh? Malkus, right? Kares. Mitzvah basin sometimes. So the einish is much more chomer when it comes to lo saseh. But says Exois, when it comes to compelling people to perform a mitzvah saseh, the potential for performing a mitzvah saseh is greater than the lost potential that, when in violating a loy saseh. So it says over here, says the Exois, umizeh hoichichu bali amusur, harishonim, because Rabbeinu Yoyin and Shari Tshuva, daaseh chamir, miloy saseh. In a certain sense, a loy saseh is more chamer, because the punishment is more chamer, meaning if you violate it, in a certain sense, it's more chamer than being mevatel an aseh. But performing an aseh accomplishes a tremendous, amount more even than failing to perform a loy saseh. The basay makanat shetetzei nafshay. If you can perform the asay, you accomplish tremendous things. Maybe even outshining a loy saseh. Right? The Ramban has in last week's parashah Yisrael, a well-known comment. The Ramban there says asays represent ahavas Hashem. When you perform an asay, that demonstrates my love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Loy saseis represent yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, because I'm afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm afraid of ruining my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, Yiras Ha'inish. That's Yiras Hashem. That's Lois Haseis. Which is greater? Says Ramban, an Asay is greater. Even though the punishment for violating Lois Haseis is greater than the punishment for failing to perform an Asay, you can accomplish way more when you actually perform the Asay, even than you could have lost by failing to perform the mitzvahs lois asay. So that's why the Ramban says we have a principle, asay doicha lois asay. Right? If you have shatnez and tzitzis, so you're allowed to violate shatnez in order to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's why the psukim are next to each other in parashas kiseitze. To teach us that asay doicha lois asay. Why is asay doicha lois asay? Says the Ramban, because ahavas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. So therefore, Aseh is Doicha Lois Aseh. Aseh represents Avas Hashem, Lois Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem is Doicha Yiras Hashem. As I come, the Rambam has at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says that when you teach little children how to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, you teach them Mitoich Yira. Very simple scheme. We were probably all taught this way. Yeah, there's punishments, there's consequences. Don't do this, you never know, you know. Whatever might happen, right? I don't even know if you guys were taught that, but that's the way we used to be taught. Yiras Hashem. There's a lot of Yira when we were growing up. Yiras Hashem. But then the Rambam says, as people mature, slowly, Megalin Lohem Rozeh, we reveal to them the secret. What's the secret? That ideally we should serve the Ribbono Shel Olam Mitoich Ahava. Not because I have to, because someone's forcing me to, because I'm afraid of consequences, because I want to, because I love the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Avas Hashem, says the Rambam, is the highest form of serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is greater than Yiras Hashem. That's why I say is Doicha Lois Aseh. So says the Ksois, that's why when it comes to Mitzvah Aseh, Makna Aseh Shetetzei Nafshoi. When it comes to a Lois Aseh, now you give him one or two. If the guy's performing a Lois Aseh, give him a few Hakos, give him a few Malkas, like the Arava. Hopefully, Arava is five times, so give him a few Malkas. Hopefully, he'll stop doing it. But we're not Makna Aseh Shetetzei Nafshoi. Why not? Isn't the Einish more common for a Lois Aseh than it is for an Aseh? Yes, but Aseh is represent Avas Hashem. Lois Aseh would be Yiras Hashem. If you perform a mitzvah, Mitoich Ava, that's greater than any prohibition you could have violated. Mitoich Yira, because Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. Yeah?
But when you're getting like to Makin Atavachi and say, Nafshoi, you're no longer really doing mitzvah out of Avas Hashem, you're doing it out of Yira of dying from the.
I want to get to your point. I have no idea how deep that point is. Maybe you do, but it's a very deep point. We need to figure out what kind of mitzvah is this? What kind of mitzvah is this? This is the religious side of this. What kind of mitzvah is this if it's being coerced? What kind of Judaism are we creating? Okay, we need to take a step back. We're not going to get to that. We're not going to get to this. Fantastic point. Fantastic. But Rabbi, so let's just take a step back and think about this also. What if Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. Aseh is represent Ava. Lois Aseh is represent Yira. That's the Ramban's equation. And that's why Aseh is Doicha Lois Aseh. Rav Sheffler likes to quote, there's Rabbi Yosef Engel, who writes in Kolyon Yashas and Yevomis, that Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh has an exception. It is true, Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh. The whole sugya of Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh is at the beginning of Yevomis. So there, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a commentary on the Gemara called Gilyon Yashas, I think on Dav Zayin. So he knows, the Gemara says in Zvachim and a few other places, you don't say Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh Sheb Mikdash. If it's in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't say Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh. Why not? If it has to do with the prohibition in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, why not? Because, Rabbi Yosef Engel, this is brilliant. He says, because in the Beis HaMikdash we know there's an emphasis on Yira. The Pasuk says, U'mikdashi tiro, Meira Mikdash. So there's an extra Yira you have to have in the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, Yira trumps Ahava. Beis HaMikdash is not the place for Ahava. Beis HaMikdash is the place for Yira. So therefore, we don't say Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh in the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, fantastic. It's only outside the Beis HaMikdash. For our Beis, if you think about it, it's strange. How many mitzvahs Lois Aseh we have in the Torah? Lois Aseh, forever. How many mitzvahs Lois Aseh? 365. How many mitzvahs Aseh?
248.
Very good. Okay, it's one or the other. Right. Okay. So more prohibitions than Aseh's. Really? Ava is more important than Yira, but we have more prohibitions. And Aseh represents Ava. Lois Aseh represents Yira. But we have more Aseh's, Lois Aseh's than Aseh's. How many of the Aseret HaDibros, think quick, begin with the word lo?
Five.
Don't.
Four.
Seven. Seven.
Yeah, two and three.
Seven out of the first Aseret HaDibros. The calling card of Yiddishkeit, last week's parasha. Some people stood down, whatever. Seven out of ten are negative. What are you being? I don't know if negative commandment is a proper translation as opposed to positive commandment. I'm not sure it really corresponds to the way we use positive and negative. But why are we being so negative? Judaism is so negative. What happened to positivity? Can't we be a little bit more optimistic and positive? What's with all this negativity? Seven out of ten are Lois Aseh's. 365, the majority of Yiddishkeit is Lois. And by the way, Kedushas Yisrael is defined by Aseh's or Lois Aseh's. Think. How many mitzvahs I say a woman obligated in? The same as men or less than men?
Less.
Women are not obligated in mitzvahs I say she has my grandma. Would anyone suggest, who has a head between their shoulders, that a woman are less Jewish than men? No. Chas v'shalom. How could it be? Are men more Kedushas Yisrael than women? No. But we're obligated more mitzvahs. We're obligated more mitzvahs. So it must be, Rabbi Yisrael writes like this in the Igros Maisha, must be Kedushas Yisrael to function not of Aseis, but of Lois Aseis. Lois Aseis establishes Kedushas Yisrael. Judaism, holiness is defined not by Aseis, but by Lois Aseis, by restrictions, by prohibitions. That defines Yiddishkeit. Why? Why? Why are you so harsh? Why are you so negative? Why so many lows? No, 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 no. All no's. Why? I thought Mitzvah Aseh is Avos Hashem. Lois Aseh is Yiras Hashem. Avos is greater than Yira. The Rabbi writes in Hilchos Teshuva, right? That we should all come from Yira to serve the Ribono Shel Olam mitoch Ahava. It's great. The answer is, Chavrut Pashut, that you cannot get to Ahava unless there is Yira. The foundation of everything, of Kedushas Yisrael, is not in Ahava, it is founded in Yira. Because you cannot attain Ahava unless you start with Yira. They go hand in hand. Nefesh HaChaim is a beautiful mashal to this in Shar Dawud. Plug for the Nefesh HaChaim. In Shar Dawud, where he explains that Yira Shamayim is like a container. And he says, however much Yira Shamayim you have, that's how big your container is. Now, that alone is not enough to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an empty container. But however big your container is, that's how much Ahava you can hold. If you have no Yira, there's no fear. Not a childish fear, Rabbi Yisai, of if you do this, you get detention. No, that's for little kids, and you have to train them that way, because that's what they understand. It's a year that I don't want to ruin my relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if I'm not afraid of that, if I'm not afraid of ruining my relation with the Ribono Shel Olam, then you can't begin to have Ahava. There's no place for Ahava. It doesn't exist anywhere. There's no container which can hold it. This is a fantastic remez from Shimshon Yoshtopolya. Some say in the name of Diariya Kaddish, but it's in the Sefer Shimshon Yoshtopolya. Shimshon Yoshtopolya was in the 1600s, early Mikubom, right after Diariya Kaddish, before the Baal Shem Tov. He was killed during the Gzeres Tafatat in 1648. So Shimshon Yoshtopolya says, what are the last two words of Yira? Two last two letters of the word Yira? Aleph Hey. Aleph Hey. Yud Resh, Aleph Hey. What are the first two letters of Ahava? Aleph Hey. Because you cannot get to Yira unless you first... You cannot get to Ava unless you start with Yira. You have to go Yira, Yud Resh, Aleph Hey. That's the beginning of Ahava. If there's no Yira, you cannot have Ahava. You cannot have Ahava. It doesn't exist. I didn't mean to talk Parsha yet. But you cannot have Ahava. First Yira, then Ahava. Someone told me, off the record. Someone who was coaching, he coaches Chassanim, his wife coaches Kalas. I'm so disturbed by this. He coaches Chassanim, she coaches Kalas. So the Kala teacher said that the Kala she was teaching, you have no idea what this is, we're talking about. The Kala that she was coaching revealed to her, she said that her and her Chassan, they're engaged, didn't keep proper harchokis. If you understand what I'm talking about. Fine. Okay. I'm not here to judge. These things happen. Okay. I don't know how severe it was or what it was. Condoning it. Okay. So she felt bad about it. So she said to the chassan that she felt bad about it. So the chassan said, you don't have to feel bad. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves us. But that's true. Because Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. It's fantastic. The love to be banim. Bein kaku yim banim. Whether we observe the mitzvahs, whether we don't observe the mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael is considered to be banim lamakum. That's machlekes in the Baruch Kedushin, daf amavav, Rabbi Yehuda holds with natural eitzim etzana shal makum. That's, you know, we're kuyim banim. There's not shayin eitzim etzana shal makum. We're not kuyim banim. We pass in Kermeir. Bein kaku kuyim banim. Whether we observe the mitzvah of the Torah, we don't observe the mitzvah of the Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. The Psalm that quotes from the Yid HaKadosh. Ooh, on last week's parasha, he says, we're considered to be an Am Segula, right? The Yisam Li Segula, we call it Amim. What is a Segula? Segula is something we don't understand, but we know that it works. So the Psalm that quotes the name of the Yid HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us like a Segula. We don't even understand why it is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Whether we keep the midst of the Torah, we don't keep the midst of the Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. It's true. And we need to convey that and we need to teach it. The Ribono Shel Olam loves us. The Ribono Shel Olam loves us. Even if a person performs in Aveira, the Ribono Shel Olam loves you. But if you don't feel bad about it, not if there's no Yira, not if there's no, I'm worried about ruining my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch, if there's no Yira at all, If the whole year has been replaced with Ahava, then there's no place for the Ahava. The Ahava can't exist in a vacuum of Yira. There has to be some Yira, not a childish Yira. Not a childish Yira like a detention. No. Oh, you end up in the wrong place. No. A Yira of, I don't want to ruin my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That kind of Yira. If you don't have that Yira, so then there's no place for Ahava. Ahava doesn't exist. So yes, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves these individuals. Of course. But there has to be Yira first. There has to be Yira there. It has to exist. It's good to feel bad about that. I'm not telling people to feel guilty. That's the eighth of the eighth era, but sometimes. But there's a healthy Yira that should exist. The Gemara says, Misaf the Saita Rabbi say, Bizman Ikfasid Mashicha. We'll have to transition to Parsha. Bizman Ikfasid Mashicha. So a few things will happen. It'll be an age of great chutzpah, brazenness, Pnea, dark Pnea Kelev. The generation will be like the face of a dog. What do you mean by that? What does that mean? Famous pshat from the Rabbi Chana Wasserman. What that means is that usually the leaders are out ahead of the generation. But when you walk a dog, who walks first? The dog or the master? The dog. The dog goes out ahead of the owner. So he says, and the owner follows the dog. So Rabbi Chana said, in the Zman Ikfasid Mashiach, the leaders are going to be following the generation. Not that the leader is going to be out ahead leading. They're going to be wherever the dog goes. Not that we're comparing anyone to a dog, but they're going to be out ahead, and the leaders will be following along behind them. So one of the things that says there, Bizman Ikfasid Mashiach, these difficult things will happen, because, the Chevle Mashiach, one of them is, Yirei Chet Yimasu. Yirei Chet Yimasu. They will hate people. They will be disgusted of people who have Yirei Shemayim. Who have Yirei Chet. So there's a comment that the Chayza from Lublin was a Talmud of the Magid of Mizrach, two generations removed from the Baal Shem Tov. This is a few Sfarim where they quote his Divrei Torah. So he says in one of the Sfarim, in the name of the Rebbe Reb Zisha. The Rebbe Reb Zisha was also a Talmud from the Magid of Mizrach, but a little bit older than the Chayza. After the Magid passed away, the Chayza went to learn by Rebbe Elimelech of Luzhensk, who was the brother of the Rebbe Reb Zisha. So he quotes there from the Rebbe Reb Zisha, and his comments on Parshas Kisetza. You can look it up. He quotes there from the Rebbe Reb Zisha that he said, Yirei Chet Yimasu is actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. What it means is people don't want to serve the Ibanu Shalom Mitoich Yir anymore. The Ikfas of the Mashiach, people want to serve the Ibanu Shalom Mitoich Ahava. They want to serve the Ibanu Shalom in a higher Madrega. It's true. That's fantastic. That is a higher Madrega. And we have to support that. Ahava is fantastic. The Ibanu Shalom loves everyone. But you also have to have Yira. You can't forget about Yira. Yira is the stepping stone to Ahava. If there's no Yira, then you can never get to Ahava in the first place. So of course we need Ahava. Ahava is fantastic. We need more Ahava. We first have to come through Yira. So anyway, getting back. When it comes to a mitzvah say, the Ksoi says, that's Ahavas Hashem. So therefore, Makan HaSei Shetev Sin Nafsh. When it comes to a Lois HaSei, you only give one or two hakos, one or two petches, and you don't have the same potential for creating a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore there isn't the same kind of consequence. So what we had, though, is a machlekes between the Ksois and the Nesivas. Do you need a Beis Din to force, compel people to do mitzvahs? The Nesivas said no, the Ksoi said yes. Rabbi said, I think this underlies a big machlekes. What is this halacha based on? What is this halacha based on? Makan HaSei Shetev Sin Nafsh, compelling people to perform mitzvahs. Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll kind of try and get to the heart of it, and then we'll have to just discuss and think about what kind of religious compliance are we creating over here if you're forcing people to keep their mitzvahs. But this all has to fit into the larger scheme of compelling people to give tzedakah. Maybe compelling people to give tzedakah is a whole separate parasha which we need to think about. All right, Chevron, let's stop. We'll say something. Hakadomah.